wrote on the board, witnesses, and this is kind of a little series here. Last week we put on the board, mysteries revealed, I believe we wrote, and we talked about the mind of God, and what is the mind of God, what was in the mind of God concerning us that He would make the world and make man and come back and send His Son to die in their stead and all of that. What was in the mind of God? Well, we studied last week and found an abundance of evidence that the Lord wanted there to be a people that was in close fellowship with Him, communion with Him. He made a people to be close to God. And so this morning I want to think about a little further about witnesses. And I was remembering a few years ago, Robert had bought a banana bread, and it was nice and warm, and he brought it home and put it in the pantry and left. And when he came back, there was a little hole in the middle of it, right in the middle, square hole. And, you know, the first thing someone wants to know is, who did this? Is there any witnesses to some, what happened here? Did a mouse eat this hole? But it's square. Mouse wouldn't do that. But you know, something happened, didn't it? And so he was looking for who it was, and is, you know. And so, you know, I say that because children, witnesses are important, aren't they? Because you can't just accuse people. You can't just say, maybe Robert did. But witnesses are critical. And the work of the Lord and the things God has done requires witnesses. The Lord doesn't require us to just simply take that it's written. There's somewhere it's written. Somewhere it's written. And so you just believe that. Do you know that God in His plan made many witnesses of Christ? And I want to just look over some of those today. And I know we have more maybe than we could probably bring out this morning. I don't know. But I want us to look back a little bit and begin to look at the witnesses. Did this really happen? Did somebody just say this happened? Is this just, how do we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? How do we know that? There's all these other religions, some of them very large, and yet, what is the way to heaven? Did God leave sufficient witness that we can, without reasonable doubt, that we can take and believe these things? Has God done that for us? He has, hasn't He? And I want to look into some of those things. We'll start in 1 John. We're going to go a lot of places this morning, Lord willing. And we really want the Lord to open our hearts and solidify some things in our minds. Folks, this is not a story, as you hear sometimes in the news or something. It's not just a myth. It's not just a story. But there is many witnesses. And so I want to look at a bunch of those. I would say, in my thoughts, if there was sufficient witness, then you could say it really happened. If there was sufficient witness, you could say it's really true, can't you? And so 1 John 1, we'll start with the witness of John. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John is not telling something that somebody told him. John said, I saw this. I handled him. I shook his hand. I walked beside him. I saw him with my eyes, my own eyes, the word of life, that which was from the beginning. For the life was manifested. It was made to where everybody could see it. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life that which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you know that the Lord wants our joy to be full? And he wants us to be abounding with thanksgiving that we are one of God's children.
Yes.
Did you know that? He wants our hearts to be abounding with the thanks that I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And so I want to tell you something. God wants us to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes.
And he wants us to know in our heart those things that are true. The things of eternal life and what it means. Is it true? Is the Bible true? Well, let's look. Under the old law, I just want to throw this in. There had to be more than one witness. There had to be at least two or three credible witnesses before they could determine something for sure. For instance, when they were going to put someone to death, they could not do that on the word of a person accusing someone else. And it's supposed to be that way in our land today. And so let's look over in Matthew 2, and let's just begin to unravel this story a little bit. And there's far more than you could bring out in several services like this, but we'll just bring some out. Now, when Jesus, Matthew 2 and 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You know why he was troubled? Because he was the king. And that really bothered him, that the Jews said, there's been a king born. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, why would he demand of these people, where is Christ going to be born? How would they know? Because hundreds of years before, they had said, he's going to be born. And he's going to be born where? In Bethlehem. And we want to look at some of those scriptures. And those scriptures were on record, and we have them today, and they had them then. Record that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. There's going to be a Messiah born, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And we want to look at a number of prophecies. Now, this is something that no other religion can have, because religion is just something man made. But folks, this is something God made. And he made it sure. And he told us some things. In fact, Daniel the prophet prophesied to the very year he's going to be born this year. Did you know that? Yes, he did. And Daniel lived about 600 years before Christ, 500 to 600 years before. He prophesied that it's going to be on this year. This is when the Messiah is going to be born. And it happened just like that, didn't it? Now, I will say this. I take the testimony of John the Apostle. But if that was the only word that was said, it would give me reason for doubt. But I want to tell you, when numerous, and I say numerous, people, prophets of God, through the many centuries before Christ was born, prophesied that it would happen, what would happen, and it happened just like that. That's something to listen up to, isn't it? There isn't any other thing in the world that can say all these men in all these centuries prophesied and it came to pass just like all of them said. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's the witnesses. That's the great as the scriptures call it, the great cloud of witnesses that are before us, that solidifies to us why we do the things we do. Why will we die for what we believe? Folks, I believe there's a bunch of us here that would gladly die for what we believe. We're not going to lay down our beliefs and the things. No way. We're going. It's sure. It's been sure for thousands of years. It's been sure. From the very beginning, we read last week how that God promised that there would be a time that the serpent's head would be crushed. Yes. Didn't he? And that happened in Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, we see Satan's power over men was broken. And from that time till now, it's a different thing, isn't it? And so we want to read on here. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, as we read, and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where is this Christ going to be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so all through the centuries, the people of Israel waited for this time. Now, they didn't understand it all. We wrote mysteries on the board last week. This was a mystery that they always want. What's it going to be like? When's he, you know, how's this going to happen? And they didn't understand everything, but they knew one thing. There was coming a time when there would be one come, the great Messiah, the Deliverer, the one that came. They believed he was going to deliver them from the Romans, or from their oppressors. But you know who he came to deliver us from? Jesus said very plainly, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servants fight. But we're told that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus came to bring a kingdom, didn't he? He did. And it's much more than what they could have imagined. And so it says, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Was Herod wanting to go worship the Lord, the king? He was wanting to kill him, wasn't he? And so come and tell me again. Well, again, God intervened. And he gave them a dream, did he not? Anyway, he told them, you depart another way. Don't go back and tell Herod. And so they did. And so we see that prophecy that was given of Bethlehem was given by Micah. He lived from 740 to 670 before Christ. Over 670 years before Christ, and he prophesied. And he said in Micah 5 and 2, he said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And the children of Israel understood that that's what was going to happen, didn't they? And so they believed that. In Acts 3 and 18, we want to look at what Peter told the people here. Peter says, but 3 and 18 of Acts, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Did Christ lose his life because they treated him, because they took it? No, from the very beginning, he prophesied that he would suffer, didn't he? For anyway, many centuries before. And he told that. It's going to happen this way. He died in place of our sins, folks. Christ made a sacrifice for us. How else are we going to come to the mighty God that made heaven and earth? How else would we approach God except there be a mediator that some way could bring us up to introduce us to God? Because we had sin in our lives. We disobeyed God, didn't we? All of us. And God wanted there to be something different. And you know what? He sent His Son. And because of that, we can be forgiven and given authority and power over Satan, whose head He bruised, whose power He took away. And now we can serve the Lord. Isn't that something today? Amen. Now we can come to God. Now we can come cleansed. We can come to the Lord and come into His presence because of Jesus Christ. So this is a story, folks, that's far more than a myth or a story. It's life-changing. There's been witnesses for 20 centuries now, since Christ. All of these centuries, there's been witnesses of people who have lived for God and found Him to be just what He said He would be. And so Peter tells these folks, he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." See, the Lord, all through the years, He said, the prophets have foretold that He would suffer. And He said, now you repent. Repent, turn away from, be sorry for, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. For Moses, you remember Moses? Long time before Christ, huh? Many centuries. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Now we read that last week. But Moses prophesied there's going to be one come that's like... Moses was... What did we say last week? He was a deliverer, wasn't he? He was a prophet. He was a legislator. He was one that... That God greatly used with His people. He was the leader of the people. And He said, there's going to be one like me come. He gave the law, didn't He? Yes. The Lord writes it in our heart. Thank the Lord today. And it shall come to pass, let's see, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Isn't that something this morning? Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Folks, let's just get a hold of the Scriptures as we read them. He came to turn us away from our iniquities. He did not come to save us in our iniquities and us continue to sin against God. He came to turn us away. Now, I think the God of heaven that made the heavens and the earth has enough power to make me able to live for Him, don't you? And you. He has that power, doesn't He? So this morning, let's let the Lord do that. Now, the Scripture here said in that He had told Abraham. Let's jump back there and look at that prophecy. Now, Abraham lived somewhere around 1900 years B.C., but see, these things are not just hearsay. These things were written, and these people had them. They had them for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so here we look at Genesis 22 and verse 16. I know this is maybe a little bit like a teaching lesson, but folks, we need to get these things in our hearts so we can't be talked out of them. There's every kind of religion imaginable, and every kind of person saying they're all okay. They're not all okay. They're not all okay. Jesus Christ provided the only way that we might be saved. He is the true one. And we serve the true God. Is that big-headed? No, folks. There's only one God that made the heavens and the earth, not 100 of them. Let's look back here at another prophecy written, as we say, about 1900 years, somewhere around in there, before Christ. Verse 16. I'll start at 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Now here's Abraham, the father of faith. Is that right? We find him being strictly obedient. And so he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." Okay, and so you didn't hold your only son from me. You was willing to do whatever I said, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now who was that? In your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Isn't that wonderful this morning? I wasn't a Jew, folks, but spiritually we can be. The scriptures speak of the spiritual Jews. Folks, those are the ones that have it in their hearts this morning. There was a man named Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. He prophesied around 758 to 698 B.C., around 700 years plus before Christ. And we find him in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. He wrote down things too. They didn't say this is hearsay and then somebody can change it. They wrote it down. 9 and 6 says, "For unto us a child is born." Now, I know I'm skipping through a lot of things here, but folks, let's take note of what it says. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now see, his name's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. How do we get the idea that Jesus is a part of God? Folks, he is. And there's evidence for it in the scriptures. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Folks, the Christian way is a way of peace. And it's been a way of peace from the very beginning. There are people bearing the Christian name that take up their arms and try to crusade, as other religions sometimes do. Folks, that's not the true Christian. The true Christian is one that is under the Prince of Peace. And in their hearts and lives is full of peace. That's what God wants to give to all of us. He has a kingdom that Satan and all of Satan's imps and allies and all that he has cannot encroach upon. And it's going to last forever. Amen. And folks, those of us that follow the Lord all the way to the end of our life, you know the kingdom of heaven don't stop. The kingdom of God goes right on. That's what it does. The Mighty God. I love these names. Folks, sometimes sit down and think about what they mean. This is who Christ was, is. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David. Now, what's that mean? See, there's so many things here that he's telling us. Upon the throne of David. Didn't God give David the promise that this Messiah was going to come through his bloodline? Yes, he did, didn't he? So we find many things that have to happen for this to turn out right. Well, you know what? Because it was God in control of all this, it was right. And it happened just like he said it would. And so upon the throne of David, we'll read that in a minute, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we find it, don't we? And so when we see these different prophecies, look at Isaiah 11. Let's turn over a page or so. 11 and 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse? David's father. It's going to come down through that line. And so, though he be God, yet he comes in as man. Isn't that something this morning? And so, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. See, there's a lot of mysteries that the children of Israel didn't understand, but they did understand that he was written of. And they did know that there was many prophecies, and we're just going to scratch the surface this morning. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I want to tell you, folks, there's a spiritual battle going on today. We want to live, don't we? And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now listen to this. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now when is this going to happen? It's going to happen in his kingdom, isn't it? Those that have natures. You ever met somebody that had the nature of a wolf or a lion? I have. They devour people. They're rough on people. They have that nature. But I want to tell you what Jesus Christ wants to do. He wants to take that stony heart out of us, as the scripture says, and give us a soft heart, a heart of flesh that obeys the voice of God, that can be with other people and not take advantage of them. He wants to change that nature in us. That's a work only God can do. We can work on ourselves a whole lot, folks, but only God can change our nature. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. I'm going to read that again. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the little goat. The leopard's going to lie down with it and not try to attack it or eat it. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, the snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I want to tell you, the Lord has made his things available. We understand it, don't we? These were mysteries of old time, and yet God has revealed them to his people today. So will there be a time when the lion lays down with the, what's it say? The lion will eat straw like the ox. Folks, only God can do that. You would never make a lion do that. But I want to read what I quoted a while ago, John Well, I already read it, but I'll give you the scripture. John 18 and 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. And he spoke that many times to the people. He tried to help them to understand what his kingdom really was. Folks, he came to change our hearts. He came to bring us peace on the inside. I want to tell you what somebody that has peace on the inside does. They make peace on the outside. I'll tell you what somebody that has righteousness on the inside does. Now, those are things only God can give us, folks. I'll tell you what people that have righteousness on the inside do. They deal rightly with people on the outside. When you do business with them, they treat you fairly. That's what happens. God wants to do that for us today. The kingdom of God, this is, let's see, did I give that John 18 and 36? Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So this morning, the Lord help us today that we can in our hearts understand the mysteries that were hidden for so many centuries. It's coming. What is it? It's a kingdom. A son is going to be given. And he's going to bear rule. A king is coming. The Messiah is coming. And what's it going to be like? In their little minds, they could only understand so much. But when it came, now folks, the mysteries are solved, aren't they? In 2 Samuel, what we mentioned a while ago, 2 Samuel 7 and 16 and 17, David, about 1,000 years before Christ, okay? 1,000 years before Christ. And the prophet Nathan said to him at that time, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. David, your kingdom's going to be established forever. Well, did David sit on the throne forever? David died a long time ago. And we don't know who his descendants are today. But I'll tell you, through his line came the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but this kind of thing is just, it's greatly interesting to me. And here was Daniel. You remember Daniel? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah. That's a true story, folks. And I'll tell you why I believe it. Because Daniel wrote many other things that are true, amazingly true. That's why we can believe him. He wrote before they happened. And they happened just like he said, didn't they? In Daniel 2 and 44, listen to this. Daniel lived about 600 BC to about 538. He was carried off to Babylon, I think, in 604, 605 BC. So he didn't live from 600. But anyway, he lived about 538. So here we are, centuries before Christ again. And we find Daniel in 2, second chapter. And look what it says here. At least three times Daniel prophesied very clearly of Christ. Daniel 2 and 44, it says, and in the days of these kings. Now he was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The king, the great king over all the world, the known world at that time, if you want to call it that. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Well, what was Daniel talking about here? King Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream, hadn't he? And he saw a great image, and it was an amazing image. And the head was of gold, and the shoulders, and the image's head was of fine gold. This is up in verse 31, if you want to look up there in the second chapter. I'm going to try not to bore you too much with all the reading. The head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And so Daniel was there because the king wanted to know what his dream was. He was angry that others could not tell him. And so Daniel said, there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, didn't he? I believe that's what he said in this place. I know he said that. But we find Daniel coming to him and telling him, this was your dream. He told the king his dream. And then he said, this is what it means. That head of gold, of that image that you saw in your dream, that's you, Nebuchadnezzar. You have a great kingdom. And it was a rich kingdom. And so it was a head of gold. He said, the next kingdom that comes is going to be of silver. Not quite the same value system. That was the Medes and the Persians. We find that, don't we? When Belshazzar, well, was it Belshazzar, I believe, was there and he saw the handwriting on the wall. And what did he see? Because of his wickedness, he said, God told him, your kingdom is weighed in the balance and found wanting. You're not going to be able to go on. And that night, King Darius, I believe the Mede, came in and took over the kingdom. And so the Medes and the Persians was that second kingdom. History bears this out. The third kingdom was the Grecian kingdom, don't we? We've heard of Alexander the Great, haven't we? You know what? These things are in history. And so that third kingdom, that kingdom of, of brass. Alexander the Great died a young man, didn't he? And the fourth kingdom, we're very familiar with that. It was a Roman kingdom. Lasted for centuries, didn't it? And then down toward the end, some things happened, didn't it? And so I'm not going to go into all that detail to keep from boring you. But folks, this morning, that fourth empire was the Roman Empire. And Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of these Roman kings... He didn't say Roman. He said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. You know what happened in the days of the Roman kingdom? Jesus Christ was born, wasn't he? And so do we have more than one witness? We're going to scratch the surface, as I said, of the many prophecies and the many things written and provable beforehand, folks, that this ever happened. People have wanted to challenge this. Is this just a fable that was made up? And then they find the Dead Sea Scrolls. And here's things older than they ever knew before. And it bears out the writings. And they find many writings. And they bear out that these things were actually written. Do you know this morning, Daniel in the seventh chapter, there was four beasts. And the same... parallel idea of these four kingdoms is brought out in that. And so we see that the God of heaven was going to set up a kingdom. I want to go now to Daniel 9. Daniel 7, Daniel 2 is both prophecies that there would be a kingdom set up. Now we'll look at Daniel 9 and 21. And Daniel was out seeking God. Folks, if you want to get to know the Lord, let him know you want to get to know him. Let him know you want to leave off your sins and you want to come close. Daniel, it says one place, for 3 weeks he ate no sweet bread. I believe he didn't eat any meat, was it? And he sought God. And God made himself very real to Daniel. Do you know, here it says, while I was speaking in prayer, verse 21, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now listen to what Daniel wrote here. Let's see, how many years was it before Christ? Daniel was, many hundreds of years before Christ. 70 weeks are determined. It was about 500 to 600. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. In the Bible, there's times that time is reckoned by weeks. A year for a day. You remember the story of Jacob when he was working 7 years for his wife. And we find him working what the scriptures call a week. And then he had to work another week, didn't he? Because he got deceived. Received and didn't get Rachel the first round. He got Leah. And so we see him. We see that being reckoned like this. Daniel reckons time this way. God gave it to him this way. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, what's reconciliation for iniquity? That means that something happens to reconcile us to God. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel, there's going to be 70 weeks of time. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, I'm going to drop on down to 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I know we're moving fast here, and so not everything's going to be understandable unless you want to take some time to really study. But I'm going to read from Brother Porter's notes that he wrote, and I have a little booklet that he gave me. 70 weeks, it says there 69 weeks, and in the last week, he's going to be cut off in the midst of it. 69 weeks times 7 days is 483 days, and a day for a year is 483 years. Using 1 day for a year, the time from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem in Ezra 7 would be 483 years. That commandment was given in 457 B.C. If you add 483 years to 457 B.C., the resulting date is 26 A.D. Do you know that's when Christ was anointed? He was born about 4 B.C. That's common knowledge. You can Google it. It's there. And we find that the resulting date is 26 A.D., where he was anointed. And this in Luke 3 and 21 and 22, if you want to go to there and look at that, Jesus was about 30 years of age. The year of his birth would then have been about 4 B.C., adding the age of Christ at his anointing, 30 years to his birth date. 4 B.C. gives 26 A.D. as the date confirming Daniel's prophecy. Folks, God worked this way, didn't he? Yes. We find that he was cut off in the midst of that last week. That would have been 3.5 years. So Jesus would have been 33 years old at that time. Exactly what happened. Now, folks, if this has been confusing, take a little time to study it out. Adam Clark has some good things to say about it, too. I want to move now to the prophet Malachi, about 400 years before Christ. And he said in Malachi 4, that's the last prophet before Christ. And here he was, 400 years before Christ, telling what's going to happen. And so we don't have any more after that until Christ came. And verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And as ye go forth, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Folks, he wrote this. This was the last things he wrote. The last few verses in the Old Testament are right here. Malachi telling 400 years later there's going to be something happening. And he didn't say 400 years, but that's when he lived. The Son of Righteousness is going to arise with healing in his wings. I hope that we take courage today, folks. The Lord came to heal our lives. The Lord came to heal our lives. He came to make life right from the inside out, to give us righteousness and peace and joy on the inside, and it'll greatly affect how we do on the outside. And it goes on to say in verse 5, I know I'm being tedious here, but it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now that's what Malachi said 400 years earlier. And then we find, I want to look again, this is kind of wrapping up here, John 1 and 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. You heard of John the Baptist? The same came for a witness. Now all these are witnesses, folks. John came for a witness. He came for a witness to the people of Israel. They were in much darkness at that time. There was a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding and a lot of ungodliness. John came to them. And it says the same, this John, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So this morning, as we're looking at witnesses, folks, let's remember John was sent to bear witness of the Lord. Yeah. And do you know it's well given in the scriptures, in the centuries before, that John would come as well. And so that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That was the Lord that was the true light. Oh, this morning, the Lord help us today that we believe, and that in believing we might have life through his name. Oh, folks, let's not let there be big question marks in our mind. This thing had many witnesses. In fact, there's a cloud of them. And so when we look at this, let's remember, folks, it's worth giving our lives with no reserve. Yes. Because, folks, it's that sure. It's something we can do. You know, in Mark 1 and 1 to 8, verse 2 says, "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Do you know John was that voice in the wilderness that Isaiah prophesied of? And if you want that I can get you that place if you want it. In Isaiah, we find him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's in Isaiah 40 and 3, where Isaiah prophesied that there would be one come before the Lord and that he would cry, make straight your feet, make straight, forsake your sins, repent of your sins, and get ready for the Messiah to come. And so we find John doing that. To me, that's just so interesting. Folks, the Lord has given to us a messenger, and we see him. We read about that also in Luke 1 and 5, where that we find Zacharias. You remember Zacharias, and the angel visited him and told him that John would be born, and he wasn't going to call him after the name that they normally would call him, John. that's who it needs to be. Name him John. And so he did that. And the angel told him, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Do you know that's what John did? The spirit and power of Elias. You remember Elijah? You remember what kind of man he was? He spoke to Ahab and he told him, the dogs are going to eat your wife. And he told him, because the wrath of God was upon Ahab's life. And he told him the things of God. He told him one time, it's not going to rain until I say so. Do you know that those things happened too, didn't they? So we find that we find this with Elijah. We find that kind of way. You remember John the Baptist? What did he say to Herod? It's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. That's unlawful. It's wrong before God. And what happened to him? He lost his life for that saying, didn't he? He was in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So the Lord help us to take these kind of clouds of witnesses in. One or two more things here. The scripture tells us that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, the Lord has left you and me without excuse.
Yes.
He's given us sufficient witness.
Yes.
That we're without excuse to not serve the Lord. And I want to tell you one more prophecy of Daniel here. Daniel said, the Lord said to him, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you suppose that we ought to believe that too? Maybe we're right up against the time of the end. It seems to me like an awful lot of prophecy is coming to pass. I want to take heed to it. Y'all pray for me that I can make it myself. And let's believe. And believing, we might have life through his name.